We're holding on Ayin Dalad Amud Bays. About 12 lines from the bottom. We started learning about the Levyasan and various details about that. And the Gemara is going to mention now. The Gemara is now going to connect the Yaudin River with the Levyasan. So now the Gemara talks a little bit about the geography of Eretz Yisrael. The Yaudin River comes out from the cave of Pamyas. In other words, that's the source of the Yaudin River. Pamyas, the Arabs called it Banyas because, as you know, they don't have a pay sound in their language. It's in the north of Eretz Yisrael. It's the area of the city of Dun, where Shevet Dun had conquered and settled over there. In later times, it was called Pamyas. And again, nowadays, it's often called Banyas. You have over there very interesting ruins over there of the city of Dun. And you have over there a whole nature preserve where, in fact, you have springs over there that are the source of the Yarden, as the Gemara is saying over here. So the Gemara says Tani Nami Hochi. We learn similar. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that that's why the river is called Yarden. She Yoded Mi Dun because it comes downward, beginning from Dun, and then goes downstream from there. So Tani Nami Hochi. We learn similarly in a Braisa. Yarden Yotzim Ma'oras Pamyas. The Yarden comes out. The first source of it is in the cave of Pamyas. Or Mahalach B'Yamashol Sivchi. Then it goes through the Sea of Sivchi, which in our times, they call it the lake of Chula. Most of it in modern times, they've dried up and they use it for farmland, but they have a small amount. They have a small area of it that's still used, that's still a nature preserve. So it goes through there, over Yamashel Tveria, and then it goes through the Sea of Tveria, the Kinneret. And this is Galgo, the Yod of the Yamagodol, and then it descends downward and ends up in the Yamagodol. Now, on the face of it, the Yamagodol means the Mediterranean Sea, and the Yaudin doesn't go there. It goes to the Dead Sea. But maybe the Gemara means over here by Yamagodol, maybe it means the Dead Sea. Or maybe the Gemara means that originally, when Hashem first created it, and we know, of course, the Dead Sea wasn't always the dead, salty body of water that it is now, only after Sodom and the other cities were destroyed. So maybe the Gemara means that before that, the Yaudin did, in fact, go to the Yamagodol. Anyway, Misgalgoviyoted continues the Gemara, then it continues to descend downward from there. Adshmagdilapivshal, or maybe it means like there, even now, maybe like there are underground channels over there. Anyway, Misgalgoviyoted, it continues flowing downward. Adshmagdilapivshalavyasan until it reaches the mouth of Levyasan. And he drinks up the excess water from it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Yivtach ki yagiach yarden apivu. He can be safe and secure as long as the Yarden is flowing to his mouth. So the Gemara says, "Master flow, Rabba Ba'ula." So Rabba Ba'ula says, "What do you mean? How can there? What do you mean that you're referring that pasuk to the Levyasan? Hi, behemoth Bahare Olaf. That pasuk. Now you have at the end of near the end of Eov, when Eov again has spent the whole sefer over there complaining and arguing about why is Hashem treating me this way, and his friends have tried to explain to him, and he's not accepting their explanations, and so on and so forth. Eventually, Hashem comes to him in a storm wind and starts explaining to him and starts saying, "Listen, there are all kinds of great, amazing things that I created in the world, and you have no idea even how they work. So what makes you think that you can understand how I run the world?" So then you have many psukim over there that talk in detail about the Levyasan and the behemoths. So what do you call it? So now this pasuk is part of the description of the behemoths, not of the Levyasan, is another psukim. So Ella Omar Rava. So Rava says when Ella Omar Rava Ba'ula, what it means is like this. So Rava Ba'ula, who asks the question, he himself answers. What it means is like this: Emasai behemoth Baharay Olaf Patuchas. When is the behemoth that takes 1,000 mountains worth of grass to eat every day, which we talked about before in the Gemara, otherwise known as the Shor HaBor? When is that creature secure that it's going to stay alive? Bismanchmagiyah, as long as the Yarden is flowing to the Levyasan's mouth. Because as the Gemara is going to go on, as we're going to go on to say, the two of them are going to be killed at the same time. So therefore, so the behemoths And not only that, actually, the behemoth is kind of a weaker animal. As big as it is, the leviathan is far bigger. So therefore, as long as the so the pasuk is mentioning it about the behemoth, but not meaning that the yaudin goes to its mouth, but rather to say that the yaudin goes to the leviathan's mouth underground. But as long as it is doing that, then the behemoth knows that he's safe and alive as well. In fact, Maharsha relates the fact that we say that we say the famous Medrash says that they're going to kill one another, and the expression yigiach is like ki yigach ish, yigach ish, meaning to gore. So as long as yigiach, as long as the yaudin is goring and flowing into the Leviathan's mouth, then the behemoth knows it's not time for him yet to go and start goring the Leviathan and have their final battle. So Simon Yamin Gavriel Roiv. So now a simon for the next three teachings that the Gemara is going to teach us, key words from each of them. Ki Oser of Dimi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv, what does it mean when the Pasuk says about Eretz Yisrael, ki hu al yamim yisada, Hashem has founded it on the seas, but on the horas yichonineha, and he has established it on the rivers. With the part of the capital begins over there, Lashema Oretzim Loya, and so Lashema Oretzim Loya refers to Eretz Yisrael, and Tevel refers to the rest of the world. So we see there's something about Eretz Yisrael, particularly, also afterwards it continues, Mi Yala Bahar Hashem. So all of that applies to Eretz Yisrael. So that means, so Rav Dimi explains, Elo Shiva Yamin Ba'abar Nahoris. This refers to seven seas and four rivers, which surround Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, in other words, that Hashem established Eretz Yisrael on them. The Elohim Shiva Yamim, the seven seas are as follows: Yamashotveria, the Kinneret, the Yamashosdoim, the Dead Sea. Not all of them are so easy to identify, so those two are very easy, but the rest of them, the Yamashochelas. Some say refers to the Red Sea. Chelas would be Eilat in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Others differ. The Yamashel Chelsa and the Sea of Chelsa, which some say refers to Akoi, which is on the Mediterranean. So the idea would be, in other words, you have the Mediterranean itself is going to be listed separately, Yamagadol, but then you have like some little lake or pond over there, which counts as one of the seven seas. The Yamashel Sivchi, the Sea of Sivchi, which we said before, the Chola Lake north of the Kinneret, the Yamaspamia, which one that is a little hard to tell. There is a place in Syria called Apamia, so maybe it means that. The Yamagadol and the Mediterranean. So those are the seven seas that surround Eretz Yisrael. The Elohena Bonahoris, and then the four rivers are Yarden, the Yarmuch, which is a river that flows, river or a stream that flows into the Yarden in Eivra Yarden, near the Golan Heights nowadays. The Kirumion Upiga, and then two other rivers called Kirumion and Piga, where Tosfos refers to. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Parah that mentions them, and says they're possible to use for Parah Adruma water because they're swamps. But what do you mean? How can they be swamps if here the Gemara describes them as rivers? So Tosfos says, sure, they're rivers, but there's also swampy water mixed into them, and you have to have that the water for Parah Adruma water has to be Mayim Chayim, has to be pure spring water without anything else mixed in. And here what you have is, as these rivers flow, they get various sediments and whatever mixed into them, so therefore they're possible for Parah Adruma water. Okay, next. Ki Osir of Dimi Amar of Yonason, when Rav Dimi came, so these three things, Yamin, Gavriel, and Roy, are all things that Rav Dimi taught. So now when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan another thing regarding the Leviathan. Osid Gavriel lasses knigya im Leviathan. In the future, the Malach Gavriel is the word representing in general Hashem's power of Gvura, is going to make a knigya, is going to make a hunt of the Leviathan. In other words, not just going to be that the Leviathan is going to be taken and eaten by the tzaddikim. There's going to be a hunt for there. There's actually a medrash that says an expression that in the times of the Gemara, it was very common that the goyim would make hunts. They would make chases of wild animals and fish or whatever for entertainment purposes, and people would come to watch. but it's not really, it's Moshav Leitzin, it's not a place where Yid belongs. So the Gemara, the Medrash elsewhere has an expression that a person who didn't go to such hunts, who didn't go to such goyisha entertainments, is going to get to see this entertainment loss of lovely. Anyway, so Gavriel is going to make a is going to arrange a hunt of the Levyasim. Shenema, the pasuk says in Iyov, again another one of those psukim where Hashem is talking to Iyov about the Levyasim. Hatimshet Levyasim b'chaka. Would you be able to pull out the Levyasim from the water with a hook? Or v'chevel tashkia l'shone? Would you be able to sink down a rope in there and catch his tongue? Obviously not. But in other words, the pasuk is implying, but Hashem can, and there will come a time when Hashem will. And Rav Dimi continues, "V'omolei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Oizra." Yet, as powerful as Gavriel is, if Hashem didn't help him out with that hunt, Ein Yocheloi, it would still be impossible for him to do it. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, "HaOisa Yagesh Harbei," the one who made him will bring close his sword. Again, Rashbam says this pasuk is referring to the behemoth, but it means the same thing is true as far as the Levyasim. So here the Gemara doesn't mention the point about the Levyasim and the Shor Abor killing one another. That's in Midrashim, it mentions that point, and you can find it in Akdamos is mentioned as well, but here the Gemara is just focusing on the Levyasim, that Gavriel, the power of Vura of Hashem, is going to schlep it out of the water and kill it. In terms of the Medrash that says that they're going to kill one another, that each one is going to shecht one another, the Levyasim shecht the Shor Abor with its fins, and the Shor Abor kills the Levyasim with its horns. So the Maimer in the Kutta Torah and Parshas Shemini that we were talking about yesterday, where the Alter Rebbe explains that what it is the Levyasim and the Shor Abor represent two different levels of tzaddikim. The Levyasim are higher level tzaddikim, and the Shor Abor is lower level ones, and each one has what to learn from another. Therefore, like each one is just shechting, bringing the other one to a higher level via its fins and via its horns, respectively. Each one is bringing the other one the mila that he had in his level of avoda.
Even though one's water and one's land. Why do they have to be connected?
Well, there's a connection now that Abba explains that one represents high level tzaddikim, where they're in Alma de Iskasia, in the concealed world of water, and the other are the regular level tzaddikim who are an Almadis Galia in the revealed world. Okay, so you have fish sometimes jump out of the water. So yeah, maybe the idea is, maybe what the Gemara is talking about over here is the first stage of it, where Gavriel will schlep it out of the water, and then once it's on land, they'll fight with the shirt up. Oh. Anyway, okay. When Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rav Yechanan another thing about the Levyasin. B'shar shel Levyasin roi. When the Levyasin is hungry, motzi hevel mipiv, he lets out hot breath from his mouth, umartiach komemus shibamitsula, and with that he heats up or foams up, the word martiach can mean either one, all the deep waters in the sea. So either it means he makes them hotter, or it means that he makes them foam and bubble up. Shenema, again, we're going to douse in some psukim from Iyov that talk about the Levyasin. Yautiach kasir metzula. He makes the depth bubble and then bubble or boil like a pot. Ve'omolid machnes yirosh leGan Eden. And now, if the Levyasin were to put his head into Gan Eden, and you would have his hot breath together with the beautiful smells of Gan Eden, in Kobriya Yichol Amid Berechai, no creature would be able to withstand the smell, because the heat would take the smell of Gan Eden and diffuse it so far that it would be like an unbearably beautiful smell. Shenema Yom Yosim Kamer Kocha, as the same pasuk continues in Iyov, he makes the sea like a merkocha, like you have by the Tertus, Roikach Merkachas. So in other words, he a mixture of spices. So that he makes the sea like a mixture of spices with the beautiful smell of Gan Eden that he would bring over there if he put his head into Gan Eden. So we're saying, but even by himself, just his smell alone is a good smell. And if you combined it with the smell of Gan Eden, then it would be unbearably beautiful.
The smell is a good smell.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Next, when the Levyasin is thirsty and he drinks from the water, then he makes furrows in the sea, meaning he drinks so much water, as if there's all of a sudden like a furrow has been plowed in the sea, like you have a big area over there where all of a sudden the water is missing. Shenema, again, as the pasuk says, but they have achrav yo'ir nosiv, afterwards he makes a path shine. So in other words, you can see like a path in the ocean, like a huge wake in the ocean after he drank from there, like all of a sudden there's a huge area where water is missing where you expected it to be. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov adds, after that, after the Yosin has been in a part of the depths and drank from the water over there, the depth, that area of depth of the ocean doesn't return to its original state. We're full of water. Ad shivim shana, until 70 years. He drinks so much water that it takes 70 years for it to fully refill. Shenema, as another pasuk says over there about the Luvyasin, Yaksha Tahoim Laseva, he makes the depths be like an old person, then Seva, Pusim Shivim Shana, and Seva means not less than 70 years, so it takes 70 years. Mephoshim on the pasuk also explain on a slightly more pshat level what it means is, in other words, like deep water looks dark, shallow water looks whiter, so therefore the water becomes so shallow from him having drunk so much of it that it looks white, and therefore it looks like the head of an old person.
Right now, the world, does anyone speak about weird things that happen in the water? Because Rav Yosin, or it's Beruchnius?
It's Beruchnius, and as usual with these things, there is a certain aspect of it that we can say is true Begashmius, maybe not to the same degree as the Gemara is mentioning over here, but there's something that we can describe somewhat in these terms. Primarily, it refers to Ruchnius, to reality.
Yeah, I heard him saying one of the fishermen, some every once in a while, fishman disappears and they say that, you know, guys who's professional guys, and they get pulled in.
Marshall points out one point of all of this is, in other words, that as great as the Leviathan is, and we're saying it takes 70 years, which is a normal human lifespan, just for the water that it drank to be restored. Nevertheless, it was all created for mankind. Which is why the Gemara is next going to go on to say that the Leviathan was created in like a soda for the tzaddikim, lost lover. In other words, you shouldn't think such a great creature has like an independent reason that Hashem created him independent of humanity. No, Hashem created it for us, like all the other Nivraim. So the Gemara continues. In the future, Hashem is going to make a soda for the tzaddikim out of the flesh of the Leviathan. So again, Beruchnius, then that represents the idea again that you have this high level of connection to other courses, which now we're all going to be able to enjoy as physical eating and drinking loss of love. We're going to be able to taste it in a physical way. So as I mentioned yesterday, there are Mephoshim also who talk about, based on other Pesukim, that Leviathan can also represent a very powerful Yetzirah. So it means that Hashem is going to shech that and make its power available to us loss of love.
We're going to have enough from the skin or from the flesh?
The skin is afterward. The first, we're talking the flesh. We're going to eat it. The skin is going to be next. Shenema yichru olav chaborim. Again, another one of those psukim about the Leviathan says that chaborim will yichru over it. So what does that mean? In kera el suda. The word kera, yichru, means a suda. Shenema yichru olav kera gdola. As we find a pasuk in Malachim, he made for them a big feast.
Kera means food.
So kera means, no, kera means, that's keva, and that's spelled differently. No, kera means, we're saying over here, means a meal. So a yichru means they'll make a meal. He made for them a big party and they ate and drank. So we see, yeah. The word chavorim or chaverim refers to tamar chachamim. Shenema hayashevas paganim, you Jewish people who are sitting in the gardens, chaverim makshivim lekolech, the friends, meaning tamar chachamim, are listening to your voice, learning Torah. Hashmi'ini, Hashem says, make me able to hear it, learn Torah in a way that I will hear it as well. So we see, in other words, that we see chaverim refers to the tamar chachamim who listen to one another as they're discussing halacha, as they're discussing Torah. In fact, the Rambam says more generally, we have throughout Shas, we have chaverim as opposed to amei ha'aretz. And the Rambam explains in Pirush Mishnayos, Tamil Chachamim are called Chaverim because their friendship is a true friendship, as opposed to regular people. Their friendship may just be Ava Tluya Bedava or something like that, but Tamil Chachamim have a genuine friendship based on their shared love of Torah. Anyway, so therefore, so Yichru, all of Chavarim, therefore means that the Tamil Chachamim will make a meal out of it. It's talking about the Leviathan. As far as the rest of the meat, after what's left over after the Suda, they'll divide it up, and they'll do business with it. They'll sell it in the marketplaces of Yerushalayim. So it's representing, in other words, the idea, like the Talmid Chachamim are going to get the prime cuts of it, and then afterwards you're going to have, then come the Zvuluns, the people who supported the Talmid Chachamim, the merchants, so now they're going to have their share of it as well, and they're going to go do business with it. Shenemar, as that same pasuk continues, after it says, Yichru al Chavorim, the pasuk continues, Yechatsuhu ben Knanim, they will divide it up among the Knanim. So what are Knanim? Ben Knanim, el Tagrim, the word Knanim refers to merchants. Shenemar doesn't mean the nation Knanim. What are they going to be doing? They lost in love. It means merchants. Shenemar, if you find a pasuk, Knan v'yodem moznei mirma lashek ohiv. The Navi criticizes the Jewish people in his time, where some of them were cheating in business, and he says the Knan, the merchant, has in his hands the full scales, and he loves to cheat. So we see that Knanim means a merchant. The boseim mehocha, or you have another pasuk, talking about the city of Tsur, which was full of merchants, asher sechareha sorim, its merchants are princes, kin oneha nichbade oretz, its kin oneha were the honored people of the land. So again, we see that the word Knan means a merchant. So the yachatzur ben Knanim means that merchants are going to take what's left of the Levyasin after it was served to the Tzaddikim, and they're going to go and sell it to other people. Maushah points out that you're going to have, in other words, it's going to be like Maisa Sheni or other Kodshim Kalim, where it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So that's what we're saying. They're going to be selling it specifically in the marketplaces of Yerushalayim. It's going to have like that level of Kedusha. So now Rabba says, you should know, not only the flesh of it is going to be used for the tzaddikim, but also the skin of it is also going to have a use. Hashem in the future is going to make a sukkah for the tzaddikim out of the skin of the Levyasin, representing, in other words, that not just they're going to have the Levyasin is going to be absorbed into them, but also it's going to be an ur makif, which surrounds and protects them. Shenema, another pasuk, the next pasuk after that in Iyov, continues, Hasmale b'sukkos oroi, would you be able to fill up would you be able to fill up sukkos with his skin? So again, all of this is Hashem telling Iyov, would you possibly be able to do that? No, because the Levyasin is too powerful for you, but I will do that. So we see that it's going to be made into a sukkah. Now, zocha, if a person is zocha, osim le sukkah, then he gets a sukkah which surrounds him on all sides. Loi zocha, if a person is on a lesser level of source, then instead of a sukkah which surrounds him on the top and on all four sides, what he's going to have is a tziltzol, which is a canopy just above his head without walls. Tziltzol b'loshon tzel. In fact, Lagos Habach changes the word from tziltzol to tzel, so it'll just be a shade. Shenema over tziltzol dogim roshay, that same pasuk in Iyov continues, would you be able to make for his head a tziltzol from the fish? So we see that there's going to be certain people who are going to get a tziltzol out of it. Zocha oisim le tziltzol. So now if a person is zocha, then he gets that. Loi zocha oisim le anok. If he's not even on that level to have the tziltzol, to have an overhead covering from the skin of the Levyasin, then at least he'll get an anok, which is a necklace. So it'll be made into a necklace for him. Shenemar v'anokim legagre secha. Now this pasuk, unlike all the other ones, is not in connection with the Levyasin. The pasuk says that the Torah will be like a necklace for your neck, but it's not in the same connection. But nevertheless, the point is, we see that in a certain way, Marsha explains the beginning of that pasuk is kilivias chen heim l'reshecha. It will be a beautiful garland for your head. And then v'anok and l'gagre secha, and a necklace for your neck. So we see that there's something that can be described first for your head and then for your neck. Since we're saying over here that the skin of the Levyasin is going to be an overhead shade for some people, then we understand that the second half of that pasuk about the necklace is also meant to refer to Levyasin, even though it's not in that context.
You got to talk to him with that.
Which it's not until him, Levyas chen him l'reshecha is in Mishlei.
I recognize the pasuk.
You recognize it because in Pirkei Avos.
Okay, onward.
So now if the person is zoicha, then he gets a necklace out of the skin of the Levyasin. Loi zocha, and if he's not even zoicha to that, at least he has some connection with it. Oisin le kameya, then Hashem makes for him a kameya out of it, which is just like a little amulet that's hanging around his neck, like smaller than an anok. Shenem of sikshirenu v'narei secha, going back now to the psukim in Iyov, where it says, would you be able to tie it for your young people? So in other words, a kameya is the type of thing like you'd often have young people wear back then when there were a lot more diseases that they didn't have cures for. So it was more common for children who suffer from them more, they would make kameyas for them for protection. So he was saying that the kameya, he was saying the yosin skin will be made into a kameya for certain people. So we're saying, in other words, so you have the people who are going to be zoicha to an ur makif from it, people where it's not going to be makif, but only above their head, and then so on and so forth. In other words, each one lesser and lesser levels, but nevertheless, they're still going to have some connection with that level of high level tzaddikim that's represented to begin with by Lev Yassin. And the Gemara continues, Vashar, whatever's left of the skin, Persak, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Achonus Yerushalayim, Hashem will spread it over the walls of Yerushalayim. The zivoy mavhik misofa olam bad sofa, and the glow of it will shine from one end of the world to the other. So that even so, that not only the Jewish people will have hanah from it, but even the goyim will have. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'holchu goyim ma'orech, the nations will go by your light, umalachim, and kings will go l'noyga zarchek, will be able to walk by the glow of your shine. So we see that even the goyim are going to see a certain glow and a shine from Jewish people, and we're saying this is from the skin of Lev Yassin. Our shop points out also the word la'orech with an aleph. We can also read it as though it said la'orech with an ayin, and therefore that's what the Gemara is saying. They're going to be going by the shine of the skin of your skin, meaning the skin of Lev Yassin that's spread out over the walls.
We left the goyim that deserve to be
the goyim who are supposed to be around at that time. Yeah, the ones who are the ones the good, the ones who were decent to us during the time of Golos, etc. And yeah, so Ben Yehoyada, in other words, explains the point is like the best part of the skin goes to the sukkahs, and the next best part goes to the tziltzol, and so on and so forth. And here we have like whatever the leftover, like what the whatever's not suitable for anything else, it's suitable to provide light for the goyim. Okay, onward. Now that we're talking about the walls of Yerushalayim, so the Gemara digresses to talk further about that. And we have in a pasuk, it was in Haftarah, Parshas Re'eh, V'samti kadchoid shimshei sayich. Hashem says, I will make shimshei sayich out of kadchoid. Shimshei sayich, Rashbam over here explains that shimshei sayich means your walls. There are various other explanations and approach from on the pasuk. It means the windows, or the window for the windows, or window frames, or different other, or the teeth on top of the wall, the battlements on top of the wall, or whatever different possibilities. Anyway, the pasuk says that Hashem is saying, "I'm going to make them out of kadchoid." What is that? So it's obviously some kind of precious stone. But Omer of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Pli Trei Malachi Berakia Gavriel and Michal. Gavriel and Michal in Shemayim are arguing about what kadchoid is. Others say that there are two Amiroim in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, that argue over it. Man Inu, who are those two Amiroim? Yehuda v'Chizkiya bnei Rabchiya. The sons of Rabchiya, the famous sons of Rabchiya, Yehuda and Chizkiya, are arguing about this point. Chadam Shoyham v'Chadam Yoshvei. One says that the Kadchoid stones, Shoyham, and the other says Yoshvei, which are two of the stones on the Choshen. So Omalahu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahevi Kedei Nuchdei. So Hashem says it will be like this and like this. Okay. So the word kadchoid is short for kedein or kedein. Now, if we say that it was the malachim arguing, then it means that that it means, of course, that when the Navi was saying this nevuah, then he knew already. Hashem had told him that Gavriel and Michal are arguing about it, and Hashem, and then therefore he wrote the word kadchoid to represent them. Yehuda and Chizkiya, they lived hundreds of years later, but the Rashbam says, fine, Yeshaya was saying with Nevuah that all the different explanations that are ever going to come up throughout Jewish history of what the word, of what Kadchoid means, are all going to be incorporated into this. Those explanations in Chassidus, those explanations in Maimonim, deeper meaning behind this argument is, a Shoyham stone is more or less translucent. The light passes through it. It's a precious stone that the light can pass through it. On the other hand, Yoshvei, its beauty comes not so much because it's translucent, but because it has all the colors on it. So they represent two different levels of avoda. Avoda, or yosher, the light that comes down to us from Hashem and then passes through us light, and or chozer, when we ourselves produce our own beauty and then in the world through our avoda. So so the argument between the Chol and Gavriel, midas hachesed and midas hagvura, and between Yehuda and Chizkiya, is which one of those is more important. So Hashem is saying, Lehevi Kedain or Kedain, La'osid Lavi will have the milos of both of them. Each one has a mila over the other one. La'osid Lavi will have the milos of both of them together in that Avodah B'Koyach Atzmah has a mila because you're doing it yourself. But on the other hand, it's you can reach only so high. Avodah Milamila has an advantage because it's coming from Hashem, who's Ein Sof. But on the other hand, it means that it doesn't necessarily penetrate into you. So now it'll be Kedain or Kedain. You'll have the best of both.
These stones shine up when the light hits it. Right?
So that's the Shoyhan shines when the light hits it. Yeah, the Yashve, I mean, obviously in pitch black, you wouldn't see either of them. But the point is the Yashve's beauty comes from its own colors as opposed to the Shoyhan's beauty comes from the light passing through it. Yeah. Okay. Next, the pasuk continues, Sharayich la'avne ekdach. Hashem says, I'll make you gates as stones of ekdach. So again, the simple meaning is that ekdach is some kind of precious stone. The point is that neither kadchoy nor ekdach is mentioned anywhere else in Tanakh. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is doushing them. That the what do they mean? So cute. So what does ekdach mean? So the Gemara is understanding that the word ekdach is related to the word. So Rashbam actually translates it as a stone that's called carbuncle. It's a precious stone that has it's a beautiful reddish precious stone. But the simple sense is the pasuk is saying that the gates of Yerushalayim are going to be made out of that. But here the Gemara is doubting ekdach is related to the word kodach, which means to drill. So these are holes that are going to be drilled into. So these are going to be stones that are drilled into. Because you heard the Yosef Rabbi Yochanan, as we have, where Rabbi Yochanan one time was sitting and teaching his Talmidim, the Kadorish, and he was doubting. In the future, in Yemos HaMashiach, Hashem is going to bring precious stones and pearls, shloshim al shloshim, which are 30 by 30 amos, v'chokik behem eser al esrim. Then Hashem will carve out, drill out from them holes, 10 by 20 amos, u'ma'amin mashari Yerushalayim, and set them up at the gates of Yerushalayim. In other words, the standard gates of Yerushalayim and of the Bais Mikdash, we find in the Sefer Midos, the gates of the Bais Mikdash, and here we're saying the gates of Yerushalayim in general were 20 by 10 amos, 20 amos tall and 10 wide. So now we're saying that La'osid Lavi, those are going to be made out of precious stones in which the holes for the gates are going to be drilled and carved out from these very large precious stones. But the Gemara continues, Liglig Olav Oysa Talmud, a particular Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, was mocking that. And then thinking to himself, Hashta Kabeas and Tziltzala Loimashkechinan. Nowadays, we can't even find precious stones the size of an egg of a Tziltzala, which is a very small bird. It's very hard to find pearls or precious stones that are even small sizes. Do we think that we're going to find what is Rabbi Yochanan talking about? We're going to find such gigantic precious stones that they're going to be able to carve city gates out of them. Eventually, this Talmud went on a sea voyage. He saw Malachi Asharis were sitting they were taking precious stones and pearls 30 by 30 amos and they're carving out in them holes 10 by 20 amos. So he asked these Malachim, obviously he must have been on some Madurega to be able to see Malachim and talk to them, but whatever, anyway. So he asked them, Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, after all, is also no small thing. But anyway, Amalu Hani Laman, he asked them, what are this for? Amrule, and they told him, Hashem is going to set them up in the future in the gates of Yerushalayim. Also, the Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, so now when he comes back from his voyage, he says to Rabbi Yochanan, Amrule, he says, Drush Rebbe, go ahead and daushin. It's very good for you to daushin. It's very appropriate. Asher Amauta, Kain Reisi, I saw exactly as you had said. But Rabbi Yochanan is not happy with him. He says to him, Reka, you empty person. And if you hadn't seen it, you wouldn't have believed it. You have to learn Torah with Amunah. You're mocking the words of the Chachamim. Nosan ain't a boy. So Rabbi Yochanan put his eyes on him, gave him a sharp look. And then the guy became a heap of bone. We find in different places where the strong gaze of a Talmud Chacham has that effect on a person. Marshall talks about that the deeper the Marshall says the vote is that The reason why 30, there are many things in this world where there are 30. There's 30 days in a month. There's 30 different things that are 30. So therefore, that's why the stones themselves are going to be 30. Then carved out of them is going to be 10 by 20, where, again, the size of the gates of the Heichal. So those are going to be the gates of Yerushalayim. So they're carved out of something representing like all the days of the month, like all the milos that there are in the world. As far as, by the way, the previous part, as far as Kadchoid, by the way, Tosfos points out a couple of things. First of all, if we say that the Malachim, Gabriel and Michal arguing about it, how do the Chachamim on earth know about it? Is Eliyahu who came and told them. And then the other thing, as far as the Kedain or Kedain, So Tosfos said that it's actually referring back to when you have previously in the Pasuk, it mentions, the previous Pasuk said, mentions other precious stones. So it means that the Kadchoid is going to include the concept of Puch and Sapir, which are also precious stones. Continues the Gemara. Mesir, the Gemara says, though, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me the gates of Yerushalayim or Osad Lavi are going to be 10 by 20 amos. But the problem with that is, the Pasuk says at the end of the Brachas in Parashas Bechukosai, before the Tochacha, it says, V'olich eschem kememius. Hashem says, I will make you walk upright. So what does that mean? What is kememius? Rameya Oma, Mosayim Amma, Kishtei Kemes Shalad Immersion. Kememius, which suggests a double lotion of Koma, means twice the height of Odomerishin, his height after the Chet Etzadas was 100 amos, so therefore people lost in Lavoi will be 200 amos tall. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Mea Amos, Rabbi Yehuda says there'll be 100 amos tall, Kenegan Heichel Vakoslav, corresponding to the height of the Heichel on its walls. So the Heichel we find, and it was 100 amos tall, so therefore people will be that height. Shenema, as we find a Pasuk in Tillim, Asher Bonenu Kinetim Gudolim Mino Rehem, our sons are like young plants that are grown, that are well grown, that are grown nicely in their youth. Benaisenu, our daughters, Kizavius, Mechotavus, will be like the carved out corners, Tavnis Heichel, the image of the Heichel. So, meaning that our daughters and our sons are going to be the height of the corners of the Heichel, which is 100 amos. So in other words, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, people are going to be 100 amos tall, and according to the Meir, even taller, 200 amos. How are they going to be walking through gates that are only 20 amos tall? So like this, in other words, if we figured that people then are going to be the height they are now, a person's height nowadays is 3 or 4 amos, so fine, you know, they're going through majestic gates that are 20 amos tall, but if people are 100 or 200 amos tall, then these things are tiny compared to them.
What's going to be the height of our now?
So the point, because the point is, in other words, that originally we learned in Masech the Chagiga, it was in Yaakov recently, that originally the Eibishter that created Adam Rishon Sofa, the Mad Sofa, and from heaven to earth, and then like he was shrunk down after the Chet Etzadas, but still 100 amos tall, which means, in other words, that he still included with him all the milas of the world, all the 10 spheres times 10, still in Korma, it was still in Olam Katan. So La'asid Lava, each one of us is going to be on that level. So therefore we're going to be physically much taller. And the Maharal a lot of times makes a point with a lot of these Gemaras. A lot of times when the Gemara talks about the size of things and things like that, doesn't mean it actually is that way. Begashmius means it has the capability of being that way because Beruchnius, it's that way. So La'asid Lava, we're saying, in other words, that the Gashmius of people's bodies will perfectly reflect their Ruchnius, and therefore a person will be 100 or 200 amos tall. But the question still is, though, how are they then walking through gates that are only 20 amos tall? So the answer is, the Gemara says, Ki ka'amar Rabbi Yechanan l'kavid be'zika. You're right, Rabbi Yechanan is not talking about these 10 by 20 spaces are going to be for the actual gates. He's talking about for the air holes in the walls. You need holes to get in fresh air and light and to get out smoky air and whatever. Those holes in the walls that are going to be 10 by 20. The gates themselves are going to be much, much larger.
You're going to have that fresh air to be sealed?
No, not sealed, but in other words, in a wall, when you're building a wall around a city, you often have, every so often, you have holes in it to be able to, for ventilation. So those ventilation holes will be the size. Meanwhile, the actual gates will be, far larger than that.
What he saw then on the boat.
So what he saw there on the boat was them carving out those things. They're not the actual gates, but just the ventilation holes, yeah. In Gan Eden, Hashem is going to make 7 chuppos for every tzaddik. Vora Hashem al kumachoin haotzion va'al mikra. Hashem will create on all of the foundation of haotzion, which is the Yerushalayim, and we're understanding that it also means la'asid lava. It means Gan Eden. Va'al mikra, and on those who are invited to it, as the Gemara is going to explain later, you have to be invited to there. Onon yoimam, a cloud by day, va'oshan and smoke, the noiga and a glow, esh lahava, of a flaming fire, laila by night. Covered chuppah, because on every covered there's going to be a chuppah. So the Rashbam explains there are two ways of counting it. First, you could say it means like this: Onan Yoimim is one, Oshan, Noiga, Eish, Lahova, Kiyakol covered, and chuppah. So that makes seven. But then the Rashbam says, I don't really like that. Kiyakol covered on because on every covered, that's not one of the seven chuppahs. So rather, he counts it differently. The next pasuk continues. The sukkah tia letzel. The sukkah will be for shade. The sukkah is the seventh chuppah. So in other words, it would be onan yoimam oshan the noiga eish lahava. That's five so far. Chuppah is six, and sukkah is seven. So there's your seven.
What was combined before that? There was
in the first explanation, kiyal kol covered counted as the sixth one, but the Rashbam says no, that's just saying that on every cover there will be chuppah, which is number six, and then besukah, the next pasuk, is number seven. Melamed shekol echad be'echad oisala HaKadosh Baruch Hu chuppah l'fi kvodoy, we learn from this that every tzaddik, Hashem is going to make him a chuppah in accordance with his kavod. Depending what level of kavod the tzaddik deserves, depending on his avoda that he did in this world, he's going to get an appropriate level of chuppah. Marsha points out why Dafka 7 is this is going to be actually in the schus of keeping the mitzvah of sukkah. Well, we sit in the sukkah for 7 days, therefore they're going to have seven chuppahs. So the Gemara asks, Oshin b'chuppah lama. We're saying one of the seven things is smoke. Why would there be smoke there? Isn't smoke harmful? Anybody who is stingy about supporting Talmud Chachamim in this world, Mismalas Ain of Oshan, his eyes are going to be full of smoke in Olam Haba, meaning he's going to be seeing the greatness of the Tzaddikim, and his eyes are going to be filled with smoke, and it's going to hurt his eyes to see them and realize that he could have been supporting them in Olam Hazeh, and he didn't. Like Moses says, Ve'esh b'chuppah lama, why is there fire over there? Fire is also a davar hamazik. Each tzaddik in turn is going to be burnt from the embarrassment of the chuppah of the next tzaddik, because each one is going to be on a different level. Each one is going to realize there's an area of avoida that the other tzaddik specialized in, which I didn't, and he's going to be burnt by embarrassment. In fact, woe to that embarrassment and woe to that humiliation that a person is going to realize to himself, I had the ability not only to do the level of avoda that I did, but to do a different area and a different level of avoda that the other tzaddik did and I didn't, and now I'm burnt by embarrassment of that. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Kayotze b'davar ata oimer." A similar expression of "Olo lo isa busha, olo lo isa klima," we find in a different context. Hashem tells Moshe when he's appointing Yeshua as his successor, "Benasata mehoidcha olav." You should put some of your glory on him. So mehoidcha implies v'le kol hoidcha. So only Hashem telling Moshe to put some of your glory on Yeshua, not all of it. So Zakenim Shab Osadur Omru, the elders in that generation who knew Moshe and also knew Yehoshua, they said, Pnei Moshe Kipnei Chama, Moshe's face was shown as bright as the sun, Pnei Yeshua Kipnei Levana, but Yeshua's face was like the moon. And again, they were saying to themselves, Ola Loisa Busha, Ola Loisa Klima, woe to that humiliation, woe to that embarrassment, that in such a short time we went so downhill. The Rashbam says, look, Yeshua was like Moshe in a way. He was a Novi and a Melech, just like Moshe. And yet he was only like the moon compared to Moshe's son. So they're saying, what a humiliation for the generation that we went downhill so fast. So in a similar way, we have the expression, Oila lo'isa busha, oila lo'isa klim.
Klim is what?
Klim is embarrassment. And klim busha and klim are both embarrassment, humiliation, whatever. Getting back to the chuppos. In Gan Eden, Hashem made 10 chuppos for Adam Rishon before the Chatei Tzedas. Shenemar, we find thousands of years later, when Yechezkel is saying a nevuah against Chiram Melech Tzur, where Hiram had originally been a good guy. He helped with the building of the Beis Mikdash and of David and Shlomo's palaces and other such things. The original Hiram, Melech Tzur. But eventually, the first Beis Mikdash we're talking about. But eventually, he went bad and started thinking of himself as a god. So Hashem sends in the Yechezkel to tell him in Nevuah, you're going to be punished and defeated and killed by Nebuchadnezzar. And even the Medrash that says Nebuchadnezzar even ate pieces of him, but whatever, you're going to be completely destroyed because you acted that way. So now, so the Navi tells him, the Eden Gana Lakim HaYisa, you were in Eden, in the Garden of Hashem. This is Chiram Melech Tzur for a period of time, was actually able to go into Gan Eden. He's a guy, but he because he helped with building the Beis Mikdash, so if we had that source. So you were in Gan Eden, and you thought that you're going to be there are midrashim that say that he actually went into Gan Eden, and therefore that Yechezkel was saying this as a factual statement. Rashbam over here explains it's more of a rhetorical question. Do you think like you were like Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden? Anyway, Kol Evan Yekara, he says, Kol Evan Yekara V'Gomer, all kinds of precious stones were covering over you. And the Pasuk lists 10 different things. The Pasuk lists 9 precious stones and then gold. So 10. So in other words, we're meant to understand that in Gan Eden, you have 10 chuppas over there, and those are the ones that Adam HaRishon had. Mazutra says not 10, but rather 11. Shenema, kol evan yikara, because first the Pasuk introduces, it says every precious stone, and then it lists 9 precious stones plus gold. So therefore, every precious stone, that counts as another one. So it means there were 11. Somehow Shaw explains, in other words, that before the Chet Eitz Hadas, Adam HaRishon had all the 10 levels of Kedusha. And then if you say 11, then it means you have those the 4 elements and the 7 Rikiyim, and Adam HaRishon was higher than all of them, so therefore that's represented by 11. Anyway, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Geruah Shebekolon Zahav, you should realize that the least important of all of them is the gold, the Kachosh of Leila Vasayf, because the gold is mentioned only at the end. So even though gold is the most precious metal that we know of, compared to all the precious stones that the chuppas of Adam HaRishon were made out of, gold is like nothing compared to it.
This was the first few days.
This is the first few hours, actually, until the Chet Eitz Hadas, yeah.
Happened 24 hours
after? No, it was less than that. Adam HaRishon was created on the same day he ate from the Eitz Hadas. In fact, Maharsha says, the vort is, in other words, the Medrash says that the gold, b'chlal, the world doesn't even deserve to have gold. It was created only for the Mishkan. So we're saying that before the Chet Eitz Hadas, even like gold, as great as it is compared to the rest of the world, these precious stones were even higher. Yeah. Now you have another pasuk in connection in that nevuah of it's actually the continuation of the same pasuk in Yechezkel. He says to Hiram, "Meleches tupecha unkavecha bach." He says the work of your drums and your holes was within you. So what does that mean? On the Mefoshim explain on a Poshet Pshat, it means in other words, you had drums and musical instruments to entertain him all the time. But what does it mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Chiram Melech Tzur. Means Hashem through the Navi is saying to Hiram Melech Tzur, "B'choni stakalti." I looked at you when I first created the world. I realized that you're going to try to consider yourself a god. And so to begin with, I made people have all kinds of holes in them where they have to go to the bathroom. So a person should realize to himself, how could I possibly be a god when I have to go to the bathroom like a behemoth? The Ikka D'Amri, Hachikamar, others say, so that's Tupecho and Kavecho. A toif is a drum which has a hollow on the inside of it, so it's like the human stomach, and the Kavecho means your holes. Hashem is saying, I created you with a hollow stomach and a hole to get out the waste through your stomach, hoping that that would prevent you from doing what you just did to claim that you were gone.
I never spoke to nothing changed.
And nothing changed, and eventually he remained the same Rasha that he was, and eventually he was defeated and killed and eaten by Nebuchadnezzar. The Ikka D'Amri Hachik Amar, others say that Hashem is saying, "B'choni stakalti, I looked at you, b'konasti misal Adam HaRishon, and I put a sentence of death on Adam HaRishon and all of humanity after him." So now, according to that, we're understanding that the word toif, the drum, refers to the grave, which is hollow like the inside of a drum. So again, Hashem is saying, in other words, that you should have realized from that you're mortal, just like anybody else. How could you possibly think of yourself as a god? Getting back now to the pasuk in Yeshaya, we quoted before, Vara Hashem, that Hashem will create a chuppah for every tzaddik, and we listed the 7 chuppahs. So the pasuk had said that Hashem will make it va'al mikra'eh, for those who are invited. So what does that mean? It's not like the way it is in your Yerushalayim of nowadays. It's not like it will be in your Yerushalayim of Olam Haba. Your Yerushalayim shel Olam Hazeh kol haroitz lalas olam. Nowadays, anybody who wants to come to your Yerushalayim can come. Shel Olam Haba in Olam Elah Mezumanim. When it comes to your Yerushalayim of La'asid Lava, only those who are invited are going to be able to come. Because as the Gemara Shor explains, the Gemara is going to explain further down on the Amud that your Yerushalayim La'asid Lava is going to be lifted up much higher than it is now. So like you're going to have a ticket. You're going to have to be invited to get into the elevator to go up there, so to speak. Va'omer Rabba Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Asidin Tzadikim Shenikroi Mal Shmoi Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the future, the Tzadikim will be named with the name of Hashem. Shenema, Kol HaNikro B'Shmi. The Pasuk says, everyone that's called by my name, V'lechvodi, and for my honor, B'rosiv, I created him, Yitzartiv, I formed him, Afastisiv, I also made him. This is, we got the names of Bria Yitzira Asiya from this Pasuk. The point is, in other words, the Tzadikim, who are called by my name because they were created, they were created and they accomplished to bring my covenant into the world. So therefore, they're now going to be called by my name. So in other words, the idea is, it talks about in various places in Chassidus, the idea is, in other words, the name of Hashem represents Hashem's Metzius as much as we can understand it. So La'asid Lava, Tzadikim are going to be on that level, and therefore they can be called by Shem Havaya as well, because they're going to be, we're going to see how the Tzadik is completely one with the Eibishter. There are in fact three things that are called by the name of Hashem. Ve'elohen Tzadikim u'Mashiach v'Yerushalayim. Tzadikim Hodam Moran, we just said Tzadikim are going to be called by the name of Hashem because they're going to be, we're going to see the complete achdus between the Tzadik and the Eibishter. Mashiach, Dichtiv, Vezesh, Moya, Sheyikro, Hashem, Tzidkenu. By Mashiach, it says he will be called Hashem, our righteous one. So again, that means like he's identified, so to speak, with Hashem, like he's completely bottled to other course, and therefore he can be called by the name of Hashem. Yerushalayim, Dichtiv, the last pasuk in Yechezkel says, Sabib Shmoina Asa Aleph, the circumference of Yerushalayim, Asa Lava, is going to be 18,000 kanim. A kane is a measure of 6 amos. The Shema Yumiyoim, Hashem Shama, the name of the city from that day is going to be Hashem Shama, which means Hashem is there. But Al Tikri Shama El Shma, don't read Shama there, but Shma, the name of the city is going to be Hashem is its name. Again, because in other words, Yerushalayim is going to be, the Yerushalayim or Asad Lava is going to be on such a level that we can, it has complete achdus with the Eibishter, and therefore it can be called, or at least with some level of alakos that we can perceive, and therefore it can be called by the name of Hashem. Amar Rabbi Elazar, in the same vein, Asidin Tzadikim Sha'im Lefneim Kodesh, Kedeh Sha'im Lefneim Kodesh Baruch Hu. In the future, the Malachim will say Kodesh in front of the Tzadikim, like now they say in front of Hashem. The ones who are left in Sion, this is also from the same Psukim in Yeshaya that talk about the Chuppos, the ones who are left in Sion and the ones who remain in Yerushalayim, Kodesh, Ya'omer Loi, Kodesh will be said to them. So that means, in other words, Pasha the Malachim are going to be saying Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh in front of them. There's a number of Maimorim, beginning from the Alter Rebbe and throughout all the later Rabbeim that talk about the idea. The tzaddikim bring themselves up to the level of kodesh elyon. They raise themselves up to the level of chokhmah of atzilus, which is called kodesh, and therefore now they deserve to have kodesh set in front of them. In other words, because the malachim recognize that the tzaddikim are on a far higher level than they are. That's when they say kodesh, kodesh, kodesh about Hashem. Means they're recognizing that Hashem transcends their grit, transcends them, and the same way they're going to realize the asad lover that the tzaddikim transcend them also. In the future, Hashem is going to raise Yerushalayim up by 3 parasol, which is around 8 miles or so. Shenema, v'ro'amor, as the pasuk says about Yerushalayim, v'ro'amor, it will be lifted up, v'yoshva sachteha, and it will sit in its place. So in other words, the psukim are describing over there, we have an Haftorah, the first day sukkahs, that all the area, all the land around Yerushalayim is going to be flattened out, and Yerushalayim is going to be raised up high, so it'll be distinguished, so we'll see that it's higher than everything else. So my tachteha, what does it mean, tachteha? In its place, means ki tachteha, means the same size as Yerushalayim was previously, is the same height that's going to be la'asid lava. So the Gemara says, okay, so where do we see 3 parasa? Amar Rabba, Amar Liyahu Sava, because a certain old Talmud Chacham, or maybe Elio, and Navi tells me, L'didi Chozi L'Yerushalayim Kamaisa, I saw the original city of Yerushalayim, or Tlosa Parasi Havia, it was three Parasei in size. So therefore, since the Pasuk is saying Tachtera, that Yerushalayim will be lifted up an amount equal to its size before, then we understand the size of Yerushalayim was three Parasa, and therefore the height of it will also be three Parasa, loss of love. Which Marsha connects that with, you know, you have the Machna of the Jewish people in the Midbar was also three Parasa by three Parasa. So Yerushalayim was the same size, and loss of love, it's going to be lifted up, elevated, and on a higher level, the same three Parasa. The Shema Toma Yeshtzar Lalas. Now, you're going to think if it's three parasa up, that's like 8 miles. It's going to be a big hassle to get up there. Talmud Loma, no, the Pasuk says, Mi'e, that's an aftoda of Kisavoy, Mi'ela Ka'ov to Ufena, who are these who fly like the clouds, the Chayonim al Arubay Sehem, and like doves back to their nests, back to their birdhouses. So we see, in other words, that you're going up to Yerushalayim, people are going to go up and down on clouds. So therefore, it'll be a very easy journey. It's like getting into an elevator. So the Papa says, by the way, you can see from that the clouds themselves are three parasa above the ground, because if the Pasuk is comparing and saying that you'll fly like the clouds to Yerushalayim, and we're saying that Yerushalayim is going to be three parasa up, then that means the clouds can also be described as being three parasa up. Most clouds are a lot lower. Rapashtus, what he means is the highest that clouds ever go is about that distance above the ground, around 8 miles or so. Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Losses is Yerushalayim Mida. Hashem originally planned that Yerushalayim, even Losset Lavoi, will have a certain measure. It'll have a certain size and no larger. Shenema, as we find the Novi Zechariah says, he sees a malach going with a measuring stick. And I asked him, says Zechariah, where are you going? And the malach says to me, Lomadus Yerushalayim, measure out Yerushalayim, Luris Kamaroch, Kama Orka, to see how wide and how long it's going to be. But Omru Malach HaShoris, Lepnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Malach HaShoris said to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shalom, Habe Krakim Barasa Ba'ilamecha, you created lots of cities in your world, Shal Umas Olam, that belong to the nations, V'lein Asata Midas Orkan or Midas Rachman, you never said how big they're going to be, there's nothing in the Lamaila that Rome is going to be X size, and New York is going to be the X size, and whatever. Yerushalayim, Shishimshcha Maseicha, Mitoshcha Maseicha, Yerushalayim, your name is in it, and even like we said, it's going to be named after Hashem, Vasa Lava, and your Mikdash is in it, Tzadikim Maseicha, and the Tzadikim in it, Atan Noisim Bamida, and you're saying it's going to be only a certain size. How are you talking? Miyad, right away, as the pasuk continues there in Zechariah, by Yomer Elok, right away, another Malach is coming out, and Hashem says to the Malach, Rutz Daber Alanar Allah's Lamer, go and run and tell this young man, Zechariah, and tell him, Prozis Tesh of Yerushalayim, this is where the song comes from, Yerushalayim will be an unbounded, an unwalled city, Meirov Odom of Behemoth Besecha, because there are going to be so many people and so many animals in it. So in other words, like Hashem, so to speak, changed his mind and said, you're right, Yerushalayim doesn't have to have a certain defined size, it'll keep on growing and growing.
What were the walls we spoke about before?
So we said that they're so first of all, the walls themselves are going to be the fire of Hashem. We say Nachem and Tishbav Aniyah Yalachem Aseish Pesoicha. So therefore, so they can expand as necessary. But Hashem is saying that Yerushalayim will have the advantage of an unwalled city. It's not limited in its growth. It's going to be able to continue growing. So the Gemara continues. Amar Ish Lakish Osir Hakadosh Baruch Hu LoHoisif Al Yerushalayim. In the future, Hashem is going to add to Yerushalayim. 1,000 tofaf gardens. Now you have the word tofaf, and you have a few other strange words over here. That Ashbam explains these are all words of gematria. In other words, that Ashbam says that when people in those times, or in Rish Lakish's particular area, when they wanted to say certain numbers, instead of expressing out the number, they would use a word that has the gematria of the number. So, for example, Tofaf is Tes Fei Fei, adds up to 169. So it means 116. So Elef Tofaf then would be 169,000. And similarly with all the other words. So that Ashbam explains it that way. Tosfos explains that Tofaf means equal in size, the proper size, not too big, not too small. So Elif Tof, if you know, is swimming 1,000 gardens of exactly the right size that Hashem will add to Yerushalayim. And then the Ravid gives another explanation that Tofaf and all the other words over here refer to locks. The lock on a garden is called in Lashon Kodesh Tofaf, and the lock on a tower is called something else, and so forth. So it means 1,000 locked gardens. Anyway, so Hashem is going to add those to Yerushalayim. Elif Kefil Migdolim, 1,000 Kefil towers. Again, according to Rashbam, Kefil is a gematria, it's 210. According to Tosfos, means towers with pillars. That are nice looking towers, and according to the Ravid, it means lock towers. Elif Litzui Beronius, Hashem will also add to Yerushalayim 1,000 Litzui mansions. Again, Litzui would be, according to one way of looking at it, would be a gematria. It comes out to 146, and according to the Tosfos doesn't explain what Litzui means. And again, the Ravid explains that it means locks. Elif Shnei Shiloi Totafrois, and 1,000 and 1,002 times Shiloi, 1,002 times Shiloi, where Shiloi is 345, Toitefrois, which are smaller mansions, that Hashem explains. So all of those Hashem is going to add to Yerushalayim. The Ravid explains, in other words, where did the Shlokish get these figures from? He saw in one of the big Goyish cities of his times, Rome or what have you, he saw where they had this many mansions and this many gardens and all. He's saying Yerushalayim, also lovely, is going to have no less than that. If Hashem gives such greatness even to the Goyish cities of his times, how much more so Hashem is going to give to Yerushalayim? So that's where he got these numbers from. Anyway, so all of those are, each one of them, even the small mansions, is going to be as big as Tzipori was during its good time. Tzipori is a city in the north of Eretz Yisrael. And how big was Tzipori? Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Aniro Isi Tzipori B'Shalvosa. He says, I saw Tzipori during its good times. It had in it 180,000 marketplaces just where they sold tzike kdeira, which are mixtures of spices and mixtures of meat and spices that they would use like as a side dish. In other words, you had 180,000 marketplaces where they sold just that. Imagine how many marketplaces they had for the necessities of life, like bread and drinks and things like that. So it was a gigantic city. So now we're saying each one, even of these tiny mansions in Yerushalayim, is going to be that size. So Yerushalayim is going to be gigantic. Sure. And another pasuk that we darshan about what Yerushalayim is going to be like. Lasid lavoi. You have a pasuk. The context of the following pasuk is going to be about the toyim around the heichal. The pasuk describes how you have in the third Beis Mikdash. Yeah, similarly in the first and second Batei Mikdash, where there were toyim, there were little rooms surrounding the heichal itself. They use them for storage or whatever. So now the Chesed describes it's about slois. There's one Selah next to another 33 times. Poshet Pshat, as he's saying, there are 11 Toyim on each level, and there are three levels, so altogether there are 33. There are 33 Toyim, and he describes the shape and the size and everything of them. But the Gemara is doubting, especially because why does it have to say Pa'amim? What do you mean times? It's 33 Toyim, that's it. So therefore, so Rish Lakish doubts, so Omer Ablevi, Omer Apapi, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Desichni, Im Gimel Yerushalayim Heim, it means like this: when Mashiach comes and Yerushalayim is rebuilt, if there are three levels of Yerushalayim, if it's going to be like three-story buildings, Kolachas Vachas Yesh Bashloish and Madur and Lamaila, then each one is going to have 30, is going to have 30 built, 30 houses, is going to have 30 houses within. Or the other way around, if Yerushalayim is going to be three times the size that it is now, then each house will have 30 stories. They'll have 30 story buildings that people will live in. The im shloshim Yerushalayim heim, and if Yerushalayim is 30 times the size that it is now, then each one will have three stories. So either way, the point is that Yerushalayim will be able to hold many, many more people than it does now. And the pasuk in Yechezkel, even though in context it's talking about the toyim of the Beis Mikdash, in the drasha it's referring to that how big Yerushalayim will be, like Lahavdil, like you have like Manhattan now. It's a huge area where everybody wants to live, and therefore there's going to be tremendously large buildings for everybody to be able to live.
So maybe if you buy the house in Yerushalayim now, you may end up.
He may end up being that now. Later on, they can build. They're going to build a skyscraper instead there, and he's made himself quite a good investment. Yes.
But we also learned that everything around the basement will be flattened out.
So that's the land around the around your Yerushalayim is going to be flattened out so that your Yerushalayim itself will be much taller. Your Yerushalayim itself, we're saying, has been raised up into the air, and we're saying there's going to be all these high rise buildings in it.
And Beit Shemesh will be part of your Yerushalayim.
I don't know. It also says that your Yerushalayim will be the whole Eretz Yisrael. So So we'll find out. But yeah, the point is, in other words, we should realize we have a lot of good awaiting us. Lasid Lavesh should be miyad mamash.